This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hey, Mike Valeni here, host of Cash the Ticket alongside my partner, Jim Costa. It's really simple. Are you tired of podcasts claiming they're a bunch of pro bettors when they live in their mommy's basement? Are you tired of podcasts that claim they hit 80% of the games when really they just lose like most of us? Then Cash the Ticket's the spot for you. We're real. We're transparent. We're having a hell of a good time with it. And we sit there and we're there for the sweat with you guys. We're just trying to figure it out just like you. Follow and listen to Cash the Ticket on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's better over here.
AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free. All on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Pay off up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port and trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
Atlanta, what's going on? It's Dukes and Bell on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. We start off every day and every hour by saying, hey, man. We're live at Taco Mac Woodstock location right here off of Highway 92. Come on and out and join us. We'll be out here until 7 o'clock, man, enjoying ourselves. It's a great location. The food's always good. What did you just have, by the way? Was those curds?
Oh, my God. Those are the Philly cheese egg rolls, which I love. And every time I come in here, I get them. And, yeah, man, Taco Mac, great spot. Already got a bunch of guys at the bar. A lot of dudes rolling in, having some fun on a Thursday, making it feel like a Friday. So we'll be here till 7 o'clock. We got a packed show, man.
Yeah, it does. It feels like it does feel like a Friday. I don't know why. Maybe, well, I was off Monday, but it does feel like a Friday.
Four-day work weeks always seem to agree. Zoom, slide by.
It's the best, man. Hey, real quick, we want to mention this at the top of the show because we were talking about it at the end of our show yesterday. Lots of friends down there in Florida. The impact, Mike, of this hurricane. I know you have some family, close family, right, that we were concerned about. How'd everybody come out, man?
Yeah, everybody's favorite Pete Rose lookalike, Aunt Matilda, made it through the hurricane. No power at the condo. She's on the fourth floor, but the surge did come up to the unit, and basically about 2 or 3 feet of storm surge up, and that's almost three quarters of a mile off the beach. A lot worse in other parts of Naples. North of Fort Myers, Port to Charlotte and Punta Gorda really got clobbered, and you guys seen the video of Tampa Bay, but they got the winds and the south got the water, and the dramatic video that you've seen. We talked to our buddy JP. He was on Steakhouse earlier today about, you know, the Tropicana Field. I guess they'll play their games at probably the Yankees or one of the minor league facilities in Tampa Bay because there's no money. And that stadium is not built to have not have a roof, apparently.
Yeah, I mean, listen, I don't want to be dark, but that stadium could have been destroyed. And I don't know if anybody would have been disappointed because they need a new facility down there if they're going
to
stay.
They're supposed to get a new one, and the county and the state have come in. The owners are cheapskate. All owners want to get this on somebody else's dime.
Sure.
But the problem is they're going to build a new stadium right next to the stadium that nobody likes the location in the first place.
Yeah, it needs to be different. For
those who don't know St. Pete, it's just a pain in the butt to get on those bridges, to come over from Tampa Bay, over the Bay, Carl, and a lot of folks, you know, it's just very inconvenient unless you're in St. Pete, and basically the demographics in St. Pete are 75 to dead.
Yes, it is.
And those guys don't go to the games.
Yeah. You know, again, this is the sports angle of things because that stadium's roof got destroyed, but it's good to know if you have friends or family and friends down there, make sure, check on them if you can, but Mike, again, you just never know, man, and that's the thing. Everybody always says, oh, well, it wasn't that bad. And that's where you get caught. And then the next time you go, well, we're not going to leave. We're going to hunker down. And it ends up being the worst.
We were showing a video just here in studio yesterday. Carl, my old morning partner from Fort Myers, Donna San Salvador, her house unfortunately got a lot of storm damage and it's pretty much total. She was staying in a hotel on the Caloosahatchee River in Fort Myers, North Fort Myers, showing us video. But you saw, if you watched Jim Cantore and the Weather Channel guys last night, I mean, that storm surge was insane.
It was.
On the south side of the storm.
It was, man. Sending prayers and our best to everybody affected by that. Because, listen, Helene did the damage, and then you had to turn right back around and deal with this. It's Dukes and Bell, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. This hour is brought to you by the Man Cave Store. We got to talk about our Falcons, guys. We are a 6-point favorite against the Panthers. It's their biggest line of the season, meaning This is the biggest that we've been favored in any game. Now, you think about the start of the season. We weren't going to be favored against the Chiefs. We weren't going to be favored against the Eagles.
Right.
This is just the way things have played out. But coming off,
weren't we like a 1.5 against the Steelers?
The Steelers,
yeah,
yes.
It was almost like a pick 'em.
And now that we've won the game that we won last week in dramatic fashion, Mike, and our quarterback throws for 500 yards, Vegas goes, oh, well, Carolina sucks, and they should beat them by a touchdown. So here's the deal for me. I don't know if we've shown enough to be a 6-point favorite. Guys, that's a lot in the NFL. These games are 3- and 4-point games usually.
Right.
But Raheem says, you know, that they're ready. We were up there yesterday. If you missed the interview, it's online at Odyssey.com. We'll play Zach Robinson, who joined the Midday Guys, Andy and Randy, coming up in just a little bit. But the bottom line for me is, can they, again, attempt to slow down the run game of Carolina? And, you know, again, if we win by 1 point, nobody's going to care. But this whole favorite thing, and now the Falcons are the it team because Kirk Cousins threw for 500 yards,
right.
It's a dangerous place to be.
The one thing you brought up to start the week is, you know, can we have the complete game, the four quarters where we come out, have that scripted drive if we get the ball first, if that's the way it plays, or we get a nice stop and then we go down the field. Either way, to be in complete control and to take away Chuba Hubbard, for fantasy owners, he's been kind of a nice sleeper this year. He's, you know, top 10 in all the numbers. And then, you know, you got to get after the quarterback because even though Andy Dalton, as we said yesterday, kind of a punchline to a joke at this stage, any good quarterback, look what Joe Flacco does when you give him time. He'll cut you up. So hopefully we get the complete game. I know there's probably going to be about, I'm guessing, what do you think? 5 to 6, maybe 7,000, maybe more Falcon fans making the trip.
It's an easy trip.
Yeah,
it's
you always get a ticket, weekend. Easy ticket up there
yeah.
in Charlotte.
Yeah.
But hopefully we can give some juice up there. But you're right. The only thing missing right now from our resume is the complete victory.
404-726-0929. Let's hear from Raheem Morris because we talked to him yesterday. We asked about the pass rush, and he admits it needs to be better.
We had a couple uncharacteristic returns on special teams, getting them down in deep territory, putting us in a couple red zone opportunities when they scored in the first half. The second half, we come out limited to 6 points, and it wasn't necessarily pass happy. It was those guys trying to run the clock out a little bit with the run game and being able to stop that and really step up. But we got to put ourselves in a better position to rush the passer on first and second down, a little bit with the run, and we got to put ourselves in a better position to be able to get out there and get after them by providing some leads for us in the offense to play ahead and see what we really got.
Yeah, I mean, it'd be great if we're talking about consistently having other teams in third and long. That doesn't always play out, and it's always great, Mike, if we were talking about us leading these games by a significant amount that puts pressure on teams to have to throw the football. We haven't been in that situation. Guys, all three of these wins have come from behind. So we are the team that has had to come from behind,
right.
And they are pinning their ears back and getting after Kirk Cousins. Hopefully that shifts.
They beat the Raiders, and I know that you guys, the Raiders. Yeah, the Raiders got Max Crosby. They got a good pass rush, and that's a team that, you know, they were able to handle. It's just basically Bryce Young, it just doesn't work. It is what it is, and you guys know it, all the dynamics of the soap opera, the ownership and management, whatever. But that's still a road game in the NFL, Carl.
It is.
Everyone just says, you go on the road. So that's why Carl and I, if anything, I wanted us to lock in on 6. I think I got it at 6. You've not committed to it because I think the line may go up by Sunday.
I do too.
But right now, to me, 6 seems like a good price because seven points, if we do what we've been doing in the end of games for four quarters and we win by 10 or 14.
The other part of this today, guys, and we'll discuss this more, is our conversation with Kyle Pitts. And I don't know where you are as a Falcon fan when you look at Kyle Pitts. Some of you say he's not any good. Some of you say he's not had a quarterback that could get him the ball like Matt Ryan until now, so he had two lost years. Some of you say he's injury prone, which he has been fighting injuries. But here's what I know, Mike. I think what Andy or Randy said at the end of their show as we were talking to them is to keep him interested, you have to find ways to get him involved in the offense. And we asked him, you know, the question was, you know, about executing their jobs.
Right.
Like, is this just you being better at what you do, or is this Kirk Cousins looking for you? And he said, look, everybody was executing and everybody was doing a better job. Listen to Kyle Pitts.
I would say kind of in the offseason, we started out with, you know, most of the great teams are player-led. So, you know, Kirk being the pioneer of the offense, we just, you know, listen to him going off of him and his energy. And just everybody in general just know what their jobs are and what you need to do to execute it. And, you know, it's up to you to do it.
Now, we talked to Randy, and we said, you know, everyone thinks a tight end just simply, you know, goes 10 yards and turns around and you hit the ball. No, there are nuances to tight ends. That's why there's certain guys go to Canton and other guys are just dudes.
That's right.
And we've been lucky enough to have a bunch of guys. Algie Crumpler was great at bailing out Mike Vick. Tony Gonzalez is one of the greatest to ever dress out, if not the greatest. Man, we think that Pitts can be that same kind of guy. But it sounds like, that's why I'm not trying to say Zach Robinson is being cryptic, but it is kind of giving you a little bit behind the curtain. There's some small details that Pitts needs to handle. And again, I'll say it like I said to Pitts yesterday. Look, if you can't block, they shouldn't ask you to block. And I think Zach's still asking him to block.
Well, I think they have to. You can't have him out there as a disguise every time and teams know this is a pass play because he's not blocking. You got to force him to at least attempt to be able to get in somebody's way.
Well, I mean, like I said, I just think, you know, either you Algier or, as you said, somebody else is back there to chip one of the elite edge rushers if you got to concern yourself with that. Yeah. But I'm with you. We just thought we were getting that elite type, I know we used the phrase yesterday, unicorn, and maybe he can still be. We know he's capable of beating 1,000. We know he can carry the workload. 1,000-yard receiver when he had a good quarterback. But you're right. Zach is asking him to do some things which perhaps he's still working on.
Here's my thing with the expectation stuff and, you know, for people to say that he's already failed. And listen, he may.
He's a bust. Trending towards a bust, Carl.
Only time's going to tell. But, again, he's a bust because for 2 years he had Marcus Mariota and a guy that's not even in the league
And that's
now.
The qualifier I try to explain to guys because guys get in their feels like you guys are killing Pitts. Like we told Pitts, we said, you hear all the noise? We've said it. Do you hear it? And Pitts is a tremendously nice guy and rootable, but does he have the dog in him? That's a lot of things guys were taking yesterday. Look, nobody wants a guy to come on a radio interview and say, yeah, get me the rock, and all of a sudden now you're the jerk and a distraction, and you're the diva. He avoided all those things, said the right thing, and if you wanted that, you're not going to get that from him. That's not his style.
No, and I would tell you that no matter what you do, where you work, how many people you work with, there are all different kinds of personalities. Again, don't take meekness for weakness.
Mm-hmm.
I'll cut you. Don't play around with me. Like, this whole idea, because he's soft-spoken and he's a nice guy, doesn't mean that he doesn't want to compete and win. And I think sometimes we get caught up in that.
Right.
What is he supposed to have, a machete walking around with him and you know, pulling it out and telling people, you know, I'm serious. Like what is the visual that you need? There are a lot of quiet cats in the NFL. Let me tell you guys something. Randy Mack was one of these guys. And I know you're listening right now, Randy. I covered Randy, okay? Randy didn't talk a whole lot. He didn't say a whole lot. Randy competed his ass off.
Right.
But it wasn't one of these things where, oh, I don't think he's any good because he don't have a dog in him. Like, that's not always the case. Sometimes you got to be, you know, just take guys for what they are. And hopefully Kyle Pitts, again, it's not his job to get him the ball. It's Zach's job and it's Kurt's job to find him. But I just want to address the elephant in the room like, oh, he's already done. I've been as frustrated as anybody and as hard as anybody on Kyle Pitts. But I'm not ready to do that after seeing and knowing what he's capable of.
But I think, and we got to catch a break here. We'll come back and talk more about it.
I'm not ready to take a break.
Me neither. Let's just keep going. You guys know the station. Just stay with us.
Don't tell me about this clock. I don't care about
that.
Damn
right.
I'm staying on.
But I mean, if you thought Zach Robinson was going to reinvent Kyle Pitts, he's not. He's just not. He's just using him as a traditional tight end. That's a little disappointing, but you'll hear the conversation and try to read between the lines what Zach was saying about Pitts' role.
And it's still a big deal. Until we get 7-8 games of this kind of production where he is, and again, you've got tight ends.
And it can work. When I say traditional, it can work. We just, don't expect it to be like a Tony Gonzalez or anything like that.
Well, but there are tight ends in this league. Mark Andrews, you love him? He's great, right? He had to caught a tight end in a touchdown in 8 games. Mark Andrews, he's one of the best in the league. Sometimes you go through these things, and for Kyle...
The way Kelsey season started.
Correct. You just have to work your way out of it. All right, we've got plenty to get to. We're here at Taco Mac, guys. It's Dukes and Bell. We'll hit some headlines. Brett Boone's going to join us. I'm curious to see what he says about these Padres. Mike and I kind of looked at each other today and went...
I think they missed a tremendous opportunity.
Ooh.
They rolled with Dylan Cease, figured we'll go for the jugular, and you go shoot at the king. You better not miss.
They did. We're coming back. It's Dukes and Bell on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game at Odyssey.com. It is Dukes and Bell. We don't have to worry about our play caller. We're still adjusting to what it looks like and what it should look like, what it should feel like with Zach Robinson. You'll hear his comments on Andy and Randy coming up a little bit later on in the show. Guys, we're live at Taco Mac here in Woodstock, right off of Highway 92. Come on out and join us. We'll be here until 7. The reason why I say that is because the Jets have made a change with their play caller. It's funny, Mike. We kept talking about Nathaniel Hackett. Mm. So Todd Downing is now going to call the plays for the Jets. He's been on the staff. But Ulbrich saying today he's going to be calling plays. So this whole dynamic with Aaron Rodgers and Nathaniel Hackett, who's been there, and they were together in Green Bay, for those who don't know the history, they've had a long-standing relationship. But this thing offensively just has not worked. And if Ulbrich's going to keep the job, he needed to do something.
Yeah.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's better over here.
AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free, all on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Pay off up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
Hey, Mike Valenti here, host of Cash the Ticket alongside my partner, Jim Costa. It's really simple. Are you tired of podcasts claiming they're a bunch of pro bettors when they live in their mommy's basement? Are you tired of podcasts that claim they hit 80% of the games when really they just lose like most of us? Then Cash the Ticket's the spot for you. We're real, we're transparent, we're having a hell of a good time with it. And we sit there and we're there for the sweat with you guys. We're just trying to figure it out just like you. Follow and listen to Cash the Ticket on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
And it is interesting, though, because, you know, did you have to fire Salah? Did the players just hate Salah's guts?
I think the owner didn't necessarily, what do you say, laugh at the same jokes?
Yeah, I mean, like Woody Johnson, I don't know what jokes he laughs at. He cuts a grilled cheese sandwich with a knife and fork. But yeah, it's just weird because Salah, I mean, they win this game. They're tied for first place if they beat Buffalo on Monday night. So we'll see. I mean, one thing for certain to have, and we were looking at some of the rushing numbers yesterday as we were talking about the Panthers, to be the worst rushing team in the NFL, and you got Breece Hall, and that guy's a rock star.
Yeah.
It's not that complicated. And sometimes you just know when you know that Nathaniel Hackett just ain't that dude. You know, maybe be a nice quarterback's coach, maybe go get somebody a coffee, but you're not OC, you're not head coach material in the NFL.
No, and I want you to hear from Aaron Rodgers. Again, this was on the McAfee show, I guess, yesterday, because as we're talking about this, and this decision by the Jets.
He's all indignant that they're saying that he's the power behind the throne.
Well, this just came down today about this change of play calling. And we'll see. I mean, you are in the midst of a season. Mike and I talk about this. Even when we've had coordinators change, it's hard to completely turn the system over, Mike, and what you want to do. So you have to maneuver within what you're trying to do. But let's be honest, Aaron Rodgers has got to play better. Here's what he said about him not being involved in having Robert Saleh fired.
As far as any of the ridiculous allegations out there, I'm not going to spend more than
ridiculous
one sentence in response to it, and that is,
that's true.
That I resent any of those accusations because they're patently false. And it's interesting the amount of power that people think that I have, which I don't. But I love Robert, and it was, one of those days yesterday.
He should have been a VP candidate, Mike. I mean, he sounds like one.
Yeah, he can spin anything, that kid.
I mean, my goodness.
And Aaron Rodgers, you know, yes. I mean, ego is big as a great outdoors, and then he can turn it and play the victim. You make me sound like I'm just, remember the old Phil Hartman skit on Saturday Night Live? I'm just a simple caveman lawyer. I might know what that large fiery ball that you call the sun is, but I know this. My client slipped and fell in front of this business, and he's owed some money.
Phil, rest in peace. Phil Hartman was
hilarious. Just a simple caveman lawyer. That's what Aaron Rodgers is doing in classic Rodgers passive-aggressive style.
He does. And by the way, we don't believe that at all. I mean, he addressed it. It's ridiculous. It's utterly ridiculous that I had anything to do with it.
Dude, I'm confused by those large metal birds you call airplanes, but I know this. My client is entitled to half of her husband's net worth.
So Rodgers said that about whether or not he was involved with the firing of Saleh. And here's the deal. Everybody today is like, it's over. No, it doesn't matter. Yes, it does.
The season is so early, they can still salvage this.
But it also tells you, Mike, who's calling the shots.
Right.
I mean, to bring it home, this would be like us having cousins saying, I didn't have anything to do with our guy getting let go. Yeah. Like, it doesn't happen that way in the NFL, especially when you're a prominent quarterback.
I don't know. It just seems like Rodgers does wield a lot of power. But, I mean, but Ulbrich, hey, give him credit. I mean, now does this create a strain between him and Rodgers right day one? Because
your boy
who's incompetent has been replaced. And basically, literally, you're not getting coffee. That's his job now. If you read the article in Sports Illustrated, he has no responsibility.
It's true.
He's in the building.
It's true.
And he'll be part of what? Stapling the game plan together.
They're still going to cut him a check just to be around. But you're right. Here's the deal. I think Jeff called him in and said, look, if I'm going to keep this job, I got to make some changes, and this is what's got to go down. Right. And I, you know what? I respect that. I don't know if Jeff Ulbrich is going to get the job at the end of the year. Again, you got guys already hovering, Mike, Belichick. You got guys out there that are, you know, interested.
You can totally see Woody Johnson pulling the Belichick card.
Sure. So let's hear one more Aaron Rodgers. We got to get to some headlines. We're live at Taco Mac. But I wanted you guys to hear this because this news of Downing now calling the plays, Todd Downing calling the plays for the Jets, is going to be a story as we head into the weekend. Here he is talking about things had to change. This is Aaron Rodgers talking about things needed to change.
There was going to be some things that needed to change regardless of, you know, what happened to Robert. And, you know, we just haven't been playing consistent football on offense. And as we know, the definition of insanity is doing the same thing over and over and expecting different results.
Hey, you got that right. He was the offensive coordinator for the Titans, 21-22. And then he was known as the passing game coordinator for the Jets. And now he takes over, and he will draw up the game plan.
All right. We'll see what it looks like. It's Dukes and Bell, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. I hope our game plan's tight for Carolina on Sunday. Coming up, Brett Boone's going to join us. We are live again. Jersey Mike out here, our on-site engineer. Turtles hanging out with us, our executive producer. Big O's back at the studio. Let's hit some headlines. Once again, this hour brought to you by the Man Cave Store. Up your Man Cave game this season at mancavestore.com. Mike, UGA, how are they going to be affected without wide receiver Kobe Young? This is a – listen, this passing game, we were already questioning how effective it was, specifically vertically down the field, right? But then you saw Carson Beck do what he did. Kobe Young was a part of that, and that comeback against Alabama, even though they lost. I think this is a big loss for them. Now, I'm not saying they didn't do the right thing because they needed to do this, you know, suspend him indefinitely. But I'm curious to see how this it affects the offense.
Look, if nothing had happened with Ra-Ra Thomas or you didn't have all the off-field incidents and racing, this guy could still be on the team. But the optics change. Look, it is what it is, guys. And anybody who doesn't understand how that works, I mean, yeah, is it fair to the kid if he's innocent? But he'll eventually have his day. The cops will look at it in Athens-Clarke, and if there's nothing to see, they'll move on. The case will be dismissed, won't even get to court. Mm. But you understand why Kirby has to handle it this way in light of the last 2 years. But he is the third, most important wide receiver as far as the stats. I mean, London Humphreys was banged up a little bit. We can maybe get some of that, pluckiness at wide receiver.
Yes.
But can I just say it? I waited 5 weeks to say it. Talking to a couple of listeners yesterday on the text line and on Twitter. Bobo, run the ball. Run the freaking ball. Why'd you bring Trevor Etienne? I get it. He was suspended, not suspended for Clemson, so his numbers don't, you know, he doesn't have the great numbers yet. Get the ball in Etienne's hands. He's averaging nearly 6 yards a tote, and let's go. I mean, to me, Carson Beck is better when you establish the run game, and Bobo knows how to run play action. Come on.
I'm with you. If Georgia is going to not only be in these games, and listen, they're going to play really explosive offenses still yet to come, right? Mike said he's not concerned as much about Ole Miss. I kind of agree with that, but I think Tennessee, I know for a fact Texas, right. If you're going to stay in that game and keep up with
that's
them.
That's a road game in Austin.
And so, Mike, I'm just saying, like, the idea that this part of the passing game, that now you're missing two guys that you were counting on going into the season, and they're not there, I just don't know what this is going to look like. We're going to see. And Carson Beck's going to have to step up. But Kirby said it yesterday, the margins are tighter. He's talking about the fact that Alabama and Tennessee lost last week. He knows what it means when you're in these tight games and you need to make plays, especially on the outside. So, Kobe Young suspended indefinitely. Meanwhile, we got Thursday Night Football, San Francisco at Seattle tonight. We got the game on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game right here after we get done tonight. Pre-game at 7:30. So, make sure you stick around for that. Mike, both of these teams, Seattle, listen, they probably win this game because San Francisco's so beat up. But, you know, I know that you're not a big fan of Geno, but what if I told you he leads the league in passing yards?
No, Geno, he'll put up some great regular season numbers, but in the postseason, that's when he gets tight. And that's my only argument against him, but he certainly is a guy that if you're a fantasy owner, you're very happy with what he's given you. They're coming off a game they should not have lost. Look, they even got a gift fumble from the Giants. That ball should have been whistled dead or whatever it was, but they still came up short.
I think it was you who said the Giants, they probably played their best game, you thought, last week.
Yeah, Daniel Jones is, I mean, quietly, not stinking. You know, he's he's definitely top 10 in all the important numbers. And, you know, maybe not touchdowns, but the QBR is up there. And then the 49ers blowing it against Arizona. Kyler Murray and company coming back against San Fran. So both teams kind of smarting. And I'm kind of leaning towards Seattle. I'm with you on this one.
Yeah, we'll see. Thursday night game again tonight. And then Sunday, 4:25 is Falcons, Carolina. 4 o'clock game this week for our Falcons. We're coming back. We got to talk some baseball with Brett Boone. Who does he like and why? Are the Yankees on the verge of getting beat by Kansas City? And have the Dodgers now regained the momentum in this series with the Padres? And I don't even want to talk about the Mets, but I guess we have to.
Hey, did the job, and they took out the Phillies for us.
Brett Boone's going to join us next on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Jim Bell, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, live at Taco Mac Woodstock location, guys. Come on out and join us. Mike, we've been talking with Brett Boone all year. He does a terrific job. He's a hell of a player. He comes from a baseball family. And he was one of the first guys to say to us early in the season, watch out for the Padres. And here we are. He is an Odyssey MLB insider. Insider calls presented by Grainger with supplies and solutions for every industry. Grainger has the right product. So let's start there, Brett, because I thought Mike and I yesterday, we left the show. We were like, hey, Dylan Cease, this is their moment. They're going to get it done.
And they went for it.
They did. And then, you know, as soon as they got to him, and I said to Mike, when it got to be 5-0 Dodgers, I was like, you still feel like the Padres have enough to come back and win this thing?
Well, I'll tell you, it's been an unbelievable – it's been a pretty awesome – I think all the playoff games have been very entertaining. But I look at that Dodger-Padre in particular. Dodgers have always, you know, kind of through history have always been rivals with the San Francisco Giants. Well, I'm kind of seeing that change right now. There's bad blood. I think they genuinely don't like one another. Both two great teams. And I'm with you. I thought it was over yesterday. Cease on the mound. Really, the Dodgers don't have anybody in their starting rotation now with all the injuries that can really counter that on paper. But Dylan Cease, he's been great for the Padres all year. But his last two outings have been really – it didn't look like Dylan Cease to me. Last night, once again, he wasn't sharp. They jumped on him early. And, you know, that Dodger offense still, with all the injuries they've had, and their pitching has kind of been in a flux. That offense is still dangerous on any given night if you're off. You know, and I said this last time I think I was on. If you've got a Teoscar Hernandez in your lineup, who in any other year would be an MVP candidate, that's probably your fifth best player. You're pretty explosive offensively. So it's come down. It's 2-2 now. The only thing I say here are the things with the Padres. I think they have the best bullpen in the National League. The only other bullpen I think in all of baseball that rivals them are the Cleveland Indians. They're in a deciding game as well in the American League side. But I look at this Padre team. Big blow to them. Musgrove goes out the final game of the season. They don't have him for the postseason. So now it comes down to King and Cease, your two guys. And then Yu Darvish, who was out for 2 months for personal reasons. He comes back. First game he pitched, he goes 7 shutouts. And I'm going, wow, I didn't expect that out of Yu Darvish. Now with Dylan Cease, the way I've seen him pitch, I think I'd rather have Yu Darvish if I'm a Padre. I'd rather have Yu Darvish on the mound tonight. He's going to probably – or it's tomorrow night. I'm sorry, Friday.
Right.
And I think they're going to counter with Flaherty. For me, no disrespect to Flaherty. I think he's a quality big league pitcher. In a playoff win-all situation, I don't think those Padres are scared one bit about a Flaherty. So it's going to be interesting. I didn't even think it would get to 2-2. I thought the Padres were going to win it last night, but no, it's gone to 2-2, and final game tomorrow. I still got a lean Padres.
Okay. Yeah, man. Dylan Cease on short rest, and they were all the chips were in. To your point, Brett, and there is some stories from LA that they may go with Yamamoto. And he's the most rested guy for the Dodgers, but I think maybe Flaherty's
right.
The guy. Hey, we were talking before you came on about Carlos Mendoza as the Mets take out the Phillies. He was on your brother's staff with the Yankees. What do you know about the guy? He just seems like the perfect guy to diffuse all the New York media stuff that goes with, you know, playing up there.
I'll tell you what. Carlos Mendoza, and I've been kind of a fan ever since I sat down. Beginning of the year, I went back to Cincinnati to do some a couple of appearances, throw out a first pitch, and the Mets were in town. And Carlos came over, And Spoonie, what's going on? It's like we knew each other our whole life. Well, he'd worked on my brother's staff, and Aaron always had great things to say about him. When he got the job, I was talking to Aaron. He said, he's great. They're going to love Carlos. Well, I got to chat with him during batting practice that day for about 20 minutes. And he's one of those guys that you just go away going, I really like that guy. So I've kind of, in a soft way, been kind of side cheering for that team. I'm actually going to have him on my podcast tomorrow to talk about making it. I watch this Mets team and what they've done. 2 months ago, we're not even talking about the Mets. They're not even a thought as far as a postseason team. You know, I think along with some other teams, the Detroit Tigers, Kansas City Royals, they were an afterthought 2 months ago. But the Mets, down to the final 2 days when they had to go to Atlanta and win one, they just have a spark, something. They've got a nose for the finish line, and they continue to do it. There is no way I can sit down, evaluate the Philadelphia Phillies and the New York Mets, and on paper say that the Phillies were going to lose yesterday. And they did. But it's just something the Mets have been doing this last 2 months. It's like they got a nose for the finish line. All of a sudden, Lindor comes up with a huge grand slam to kind of seal the deal yesterday. Pete Alonso's hitting balls out the opposite field, which he hasn't done much all year. And it just seems like it's if it's not one guy, it's the next. You got a Winker who's going. I don't know what's going on with Winker. He's a little bit of a psycho. But I'll tell you what, he's had some big moments. He's had some big moments. Vientos, Nimmo. I mean, they're all Severino's stepping up. The kid yesterday that pitched, Quintana, pitched his butt off. This Mets team's just got a, you know, kind of a Arizona feeling of a year ago where nobody really gave us a chance. We got to the postseason. Nobody really gave them a chance against the Phillies. They beat them. Man, I think they're kind of playing loose. Like, we got nothing to lose. We're not even supposed to be here, and those teams are dangerous.
House money. I agree. He is Brett Boone, guys. Odyssey MLB Insider. Insider calls brought to you by Granger. Do you think they have the closer situation fixed? Listen, Edwin Diaz, he kind of lost it.
This schizophrenic, yeah.
Right? And then they went away from him. They went back to him. I mean, he only had 20 saves this year, but he had 7 blown saves in the regular season. Now, this is playoffs. But he closes the game out yesterday against Schwarber. I'm just saying, that's something that still concerns me in these big moments. I don't trust Diaz.
No, and I have a lot of I believe I know exactly what you're saying. Now, I'll put my manager hat on for him. Manager hat on for a minute. Right. Aaron Boone had a similar situation in the Bronx. He's got Holmes, who's been there, one of the best closers in baseball for 3-4 years now. All of a sudden, after the All-Star break, Holmes had some real tough sledding. And down the stretch, you know, I had little conversations with my brother, and I said, what are you going to do? We're going to work it out. You know, I'm going to kind of take him out of the closer role, put him here, get him comfortable. Those closers, when they get shaky, it's a very vulnerable thing because they know who they are. They know they're the guy you go to in the ninth. And just like a position player, I've been in this situation. You know, I've had you have great years, you have tough years. You have great stretches, you have tough stretches. And even the best of best players, when you go through a tough stretch, you start to question yourself, and it becomes a mental thing. So I know what he's going through with Holmes. Holmes is now pitching in the sixth and the seventh for the Yankees. They've let the kid Weaver close, and it's worked like clockwork. You go to the Diaz thing, and I'm with you. I watch Diaz pitch. He's got electric stuff. I'm not taking that away from him. But he almost has given me the feel of a Kimbrel late in his career. When he was with Baltimore, when he was with Philly. Like, yeah. If he comes into the game, it's flip a coin time, you know? Whereas normally you bring in a Class A for the Cleveland Indians. I know the other day he gave up the homer, but that's like a unicorn
event for him.
But you bring in a guy like that, a Suarez with the San Diego Padres, pretty much the game's over. You know, in my day, you bring in a Mariano, they start singing that song. Man, that's not good feelings in my dugout. When Hell's Bells comes on and Trevor's coming out of the bullpen, there's a good chance this game's over. But I'm with you. The thing with Diaz is he's shaky. Mendoza's gone with him. He got away from him. He went back to him, and they're still standing. But I'm with you. He comes to the game, and I got one eye open, like, what's this going to be like? Because really right now there's been no consistency.
It's our Odyssey MLB Insider. It's Brett Boone. Just real quick, bring it back to the Braves. Brian Snicker said, you know, we lost momentum. We had that amazing offensive season last year, set all the records, and then we had to sit on ice for like a half a week or 5 days, and then just felt like we lost momentum. Well, all the Phillies to a man, Brett, snickered, mocked him, laughed about it, and they went and did the same thing. As a former, you know, a veteran player, how much is there to be, you know, the team which has to keep on playing? And because if you're really good, it's like Major League Baseball is punishing you, it seems like. Or is that a weak excuse? You just got to find some way to maintain your stuff.
You've got to find something, you know, inside. Now, sometimes you welcome the layoff at the end, and you've got those 4 or 5 days to get healthy, and maybe your team's banged up. But if you're healthy going into it, I think you want to just play and keep playing. I don't know. If they're going to go forward, I think they've done a really good job to this point with the new playoff format, but I think there still needs some tweaks to it. I think maybe if this, you know, continues to happen and that team that sits on the sidelines and waits keeps getting eliminated, they're trying to give them the benefit of the doubt and the most you know, for what they did during the season, having more wins than the next team. They're trying to give them a little bit of an advantage because they've earned it over 162. But if it keeps going this way, I think they're going to tweak it. I don't know. Maybe it's something like you play all the superior team in the regular season, you play all the games at their facility instead of going back and forth. Something's kind of got to even the playing field because the guys that come in hot and kind of like the Mets, like the Tigers, like the Kansas City Royals, they've been in playoff mode for a month because they didn't have a spot at the table. They earned that spot at the table, but by playing high leverage, big time games down the stretch. Now all of a sudden you get to the postseason, you hit the ground running, and it's like, well, we've been in playoff mode for a month now, and so we have a little advantage over you. We've been in tough games. We've been in nail biting games where the other teams, they're usually the superior teams that have, you know, that win 95, 100 games. Well, they kind of coast to the finish line because they've got it in the bag.
Before we let you go, I got to ask you about Detroit. You mentioned the hottest team in baseball the past 2 months because they're not here unless they got hot. Their first chance to advance to the ALCS since 2013. Do you have them advancing over the Guardians?
Before this series started, I'm looking at that team and I'm going, okay, that Cleveland Indian team is a better team than the Detroit Tigers. They just are. Mm-hmm. But we have a lot of aces in the postseason, up and down. You go with the Coles and you know, pick your ace on both sides, both leagues. But I think there is one ace that is above and beyond the rest, and that's Skubal. And all I thought was Skubal in a 5-game series, if you can get him, if you can extend the series, is going to pitch twice. You've got to find one win in between. Well, Detroit has found that one win. So I look at this point, even though I think Cleveland overall team is a better team than the Detroit Tigers, if they don't close it out today, the game five is going to be Skubal. And I think right now with what I've seen from Skubal, what my eyes see when I'm sitting on that couch, he's just above and beyond any other of the aces. So I think this series is over, and I think Detroit's going to take it.
And Brett, how refreshing is it to see Detroit with a 22nd lowest payroll of $94 million against a team with an $84 million payroll?
Crazy.
I mean, for the Yankees, that's like 2 years salary for the Yankees for Mets players.
It just goes to show you put together the right people. It's not always about the best players and the highest paid players. It's putting people with people. Put the right people in the room with the right people, and it becomes a cohesive unit. They're doing it with a bullpen as their starting pitchers, with the exception of Skubal. Boyd went game two. But I'll tell you, they can pitch. That bullpen is really good, a lot better than people give it credit. I think they finished the season as a staff and a bullpen 2-2 in the American League in that two spot. So they're better than people think offensively. They got a couple guys that can put a little scare into you, but for the most part, they do it with pitching, and they do it with this unbelievable streak they've been on for a while. I mean, look at back to the trading deadline. They gave away Flaherty. They had Flaherty on that team. They gave him to the Dodgers because they didn't think they were going to make it to the postseason. Now right. Things have changed. And I'd say right now, if you ask those guys in that clubhouse, hey, do you wish we had this guy or this guy? They'll say, you know what, we're fine with exactly what we got right now. We're on a roll. So tough to overlook guys that get along in the clubhouse, at chemistry, and when you're hot, you're hot, and you kind of know it. It's not an arrogant thing, but it's a look that you give a teammate, a glance, a wink, where you just go, you know we're going to come back and win this game, right? And you kind of almost will it. I've been on teams like that. They're special teams. It's going to be interesting to see what Detroit does. But I think right now, as much as I thought Cleveland had a chance to go to the World Series, man, that's an uphill battle with two games left, and you got to beat Scooble at the end.
Great points. Odyssey MLB insider Brett Boone, thanks so much, man. Always enjoy your insight. Look forward to seeing where this goes and talking some more playoffs with you as this thing shakes out this week.
You got it. Thanks, guys.
All right, Mike. And, you know, again, it's been entertaining. It sucks our Braves are not in it. But if I'm going to watch,
right,
I do want to be entertained. And I hate to say it, that damn Lindor Grand Slam, I was like, ooh-wee.
And, again, think about where he was. You know, his back, his little, his aching back. You know, it's the home run. And he actually has the big hit against the in game one in that elimination weekend with the Braves. So the guy all of a sudden has come on strong. And, yeah, the plucky Mets against the, perhaps, the Dodgers. See, this feels like the Padres missed their window.
Okay, wait, let me ask you now. We hate the Dodgers, but we hate the Mets. Who are we rooting for if that happens?
I'm rooting for the – I'm going to go get a Tigers hat. I'll be like Magnum P.I. For Halloween, I'm going to get a Hawaiian shirt and a Tigers hat, and I'll just grow out the, keep the mustache. And that's
I love it. I love it. Hey, coming up, NFL Blitz is on the way. Also, we're going to go behind enemy lines and talk about the Panthers as we grab one of their commentators. His name's Jim Zocchi. He will join us at 3:20 to give us the latest on what to expect Sunday as the Falcons get ready for that game in Carolina. It's Dukes and Bell. We're live in Woodstock, guys, at Taco Mac.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hey, Mike Valenti here, host of Cash the Ticket alongside my partner, Jim Costa. It's really simple. Are you tired of podcasts claiming they're a bunch of pro bettors when they live in their mommy's basement? Are you tired of podcasts that claim they hit 80% of the games when really they just lose like most of us? Then Cash the Ticket's the spot for you. We're real, we're transparent, we're having a hell of a good time with it. And we sit there and we're there for the sweat with you guys. We're just trying to figure it out just like you. Follow and listen to Cash the Ticket on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's better over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to four lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device credit service ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.